The book of Proverbs provides wisdom for life. And on this Labor Day weekend, we are given words of wisdom about money, what it means for us, and what our responsibilities are to those who are poor. Based on the cost of living, there are many working poor at work right now in the businesses within walking distance of our church. Proverbs is wisdom literature, as is the Song of Songs, which we considered last week. Ellen Davis, in her commentary on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, notes that Solomon is credited with the authorship of these three books. She writes, "The Song of Songs in lusty youth, Proverbs in somber middle age, and Ecclesiastes in disillusioned and disgruntled old age." Davis states, while scholars are sure that Solomon did not, in fact, personally write these books, certainly not all of the Proverbs, this way of understanding their different tones, while each deals with what it means to be wise before God, is helpful. In Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 7, is key to understanding this book of the Bible. We hear, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." All that this book has to teach us will reach its full effect when a person seeks wisdom because the person is aware of God. Seeking wisdom because we know God wants that for us, because a person stands in awe of God and seeks to live life to God's glory. Fear, in this case, is better understood as awe. This is wisdom for us who seek to serve God through the lives we live. For much of this world, for many people, this would not be wisdom for them, not for one who seeks his or her own good above that of the community. Having wisdom is not the same as being smart or having a good education. As Davis states, when people live their lives day by day, even moment by moment, in a way that honors and glorifies God, that is what wisdom meant to the biblical writers, living in the world in such a way that God and God's intentions for the world are acknowledged in all we do. That's really something to live up to, isn't it? That's a lot. Living in the world in a way that God and God's intentions for the world are acknowledged in all that we do. Wisdom is so to be desired that wisdom is to be sought. And wisdom is personified to add focus. We are to seek Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom who cries out in the street. We hear this again in parts of the book of Proverbs. She's crying out in the street. She cries out for our attention, promises to pour out her thoughts to us, promises to make known her words. That wisdom cries out to us in the streets makes me think of the words we often hear and see when we're connected to Richmond Hill here in Richmond. Even on a t-shirt I have, quoting from Jeremiah, which says, "Seek the welfare of the city to which I have sent you." When we seek to honor and glorify God in our city of Richmond, what does that look like? That wisdom cries out to us in the streets also makes me think of the woman I talked with in Target a few days ago. We were talking about how expensive it is to buy what is needed. What is my response to this woman working at Target as a cashier who makes perhaps $8 an hour, the national average for someone who's a cashier at Target, but perhaps only $7.25, the minimum national wage? What do I say as she tells me that she may soon not be able to afford her apartment? That the average person can't do it, she says. You know, if Labor Day had not been made a national holiday in 1884, there's a good chance we wouldn't be celebrating it here in Virginia. There's a really good chance when we look at the history of this day and what it means. Labor, unions, that sort of thing have not been a feature of our life in the Commonwealth. Other states adopted the holiday to honor those who labor to make our country great. And that's how they thought about it back then. But back then in the 1800s, Virginia was not one of those. Virginia acted then, much as Virginia is acting now, regarding a national movement to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour. Polls say that 75% of Americans support an increase of the minimum wage to $12.50 an hour. And some cities and states are requiring local increases and planning for future increases to reach some of those numbers, but Virginia is not among those. West Virginia is up to $8 an hour, with another increase coming in December to $8.75. In May of this year, Los Angeles became the largest city in the nation to adopt a $15 minimum wage, which will be phased in, reaching $15 by 2020. The New York Times called this perhaps the most significant victory so far for labor groups and their allies who are engaged in a national push to raise the minimum wage. But we're not doing that here in Virginia or in Richmond. And yes, I'm not an economist. I'm not a politician. I don't pretend to have all the answers, and I do know it's complicated. But I am a priest. And as we've discussed before, in the Episcopal Church, we do not see our faith as something we do inside this building on Sunday only. But we see our faith as calling us to be about the world, our world, and certainly our neighborhood. Wisdom is calling to us in the street. What do we see as we go about our streets? What did I say to that woman at Target? What could I say? I was like, yeah, it's not right. It's wrong. It's not fair. And I told her, I'm a pastor of a church, and we try to help, as we're going to see in flesh here today when people bring up food for our food pantry. And it does help a lot. And I didn't go into all of this with her, but many of you know about our Christ Family program, where we actually have members of the parish mentoring families, and we provide emergency financial assistance to some. So I told her we do things at the church, but we also want to help make structural changes. Many of you have worked with the Virginia Interfaith Public Policy Group, and our church is a member of the group, to help work through the political process to help make structural changes. Other than voting, though, and being involved in the political process, which is important and we take very seriously, what can I do? What can we say? Well, we can remind each other and those who may listen to us that we, as the church, we want to be about what we believe God calls us to be about and to do. And the thing about being about God's desires for the world is it's not going to be a clear way forward, is it? Because we're all caught up in this, and we're almost entrapped by it in some ways. So it's like we have to launch out not knowing how the road's going to go or where the journey's going to end, but trusting that when we're following God's will, we're on the right path and we're doing God's work, even a little bit at a time. We hear in our lesson from Proverbs for today that we are all one family. This is one of the key points of today's reading. One community, the rich and the poor. And by the world's standards, most of us here, not everyone, but most of us are pretty rich. We hear in the reading, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. We are all God's children, brothers and sisters, humanity, one family. This does not seem to be an easy concept to get and to put into practice. Even Jesus grew in wisdom around this issue of who belonged to his family. We heard that today in the gospel reading. A woman in the street, she goes to him asking him to help, and she helps him to grow. And in his humanity, right, fully divine, fully human, in his fullness of humanity, he learned and he grew. And he heard God speaking through her that even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and he healed her daughter. A good name in this context, back to Proverbs, a good name refers to repute, reputation, long-standing evidence of a faithful life, honoring God by fulfilling one's responsibilities to household and community, including giving support to the poor. And favor that we hear in that reading, favor that we are to desire more than riches. This refers to chapter 3 of Proverbs, which notes that favor with the community results from expressing loyalty. Loyalty to the community. Favor is bound up in how we relate to our community outside of these walls. How can we be loyal to our community? How can we seek the welfare of the city, the neighborhood to which we've been sent, here at the corner of Monument and Staples Mill, and just a short walk to all those businesses on Broad Street? How can we be a community center that supports people? We already are in some ways, such as the food pantry, the community meal. We see people who are members of our community who do not come to church here for the most part, but know through what we do that this is their community as well. The new 4:30 service starting in October is designed to reach certainly families with young children, but also those who can't come in the morning. Could be many different types of people. And more, your vestry and I during our retreat 2 weeks ago, and maybe this is something we'd all like to pray about and think about, we named our desire to listen to our neighbors, to discern how we can be loyal to them. So what does Labor Day even mean here in Richmond, Virginia? What could we offer our neighbors who labor so hard for so little? From my quick search online, I didn't see much happening on Labor Day for the working poor. We know most of them will in fact be working, so that those with money can spend and shop tomorrow. Labor Day has really become just another day for those who labor to labor more. It made me think, and again, not sure what this means, just praying and thinking, wouldn't it be nice next year to do something here at the church that could really be for those who labor on Labor Day? What can we offer our neighbors who labor so hard for so little? We can proclaim, again, what we're here about, being God's people and the church and the world. We can proclaim that it's God's will that all experience economic justice. For we hear in Proverbs, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. God's ultimate word on all this. And those who are generous will be blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. And we hear, do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause, and despoils the life of those who despoil them. Does a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour fit into the concept of robbing the poor because they are poor? We do not want to crush those who struggle so hard, identified as the afflicted at the gate. Our sense of love and compassion moves us to seek justice, as does our knowledge that the Lord, our God, pleads their cause to us and to all. Amen.